Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from VOA Studios here in Washington. I'm Douglas Impuga, and this evening we'll talk about Mandela's legacy and his impact on Africa. And with us tonight are my colleagues, Vincent Makori, host of VOA's Africa 54.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much. And Blessing Zulu of VOA's Zimbabwe service.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome, gentlemen. And as I said, today we're going to talk about Mandela and his legacy. Mandela Day is marked around the world on July 18th to celebrate the birthday of Nelson Mandela, the late president of South Africa and Nobel Peace Prize winner. Mandela inspired countless individuals, but how did he impact the current crop of African leaders? And how did the people on the continent and worldwide see him? First, gentlemen, let's first get this report from our colleague in Johannesburg, Anita Paul.
Nelson Mandela dedicated 67 years of his life to actively fighting to make South Africa a better place. 27 of those years were spent in prison for his opposition to the apartheid regime. And so every year on his birthday, South Africans honor the man they regard as the father of the nation through community service. 67 minutes of it. 1 minute for every year of Mandela's sacrifice. In 2009, the United Nations declared July 18th as Nelson Mandela International Day and asked people worldwide to do acts of service on this day. In South Africa, Mandela will always be affectionately known by his clan name, Madiba. This year, 21-year-old university student Dimpo Molefe rolled up her sleeves and rolled mint green paint on the classroom walls of Viva Village, a non-profit educational compound in Pretoria's Mamelodi township.
I think it's important because it helps us also just understand that although apartheid has ended, there are people that are still affected by it, like generations after the struggle are still affected by it. Like there are still kids who can't go to school or who can't get the proper food that they need.
A few kilometers away, Glenton Marahela, manager of Mamelodi's Baraka Educational Foundation, beamed as volunteers gave his classrooms a new coat of paint.
Mandela Day is to go out there and help people, you know, not only this day, but each and every day. But today is his birthday, so all of us need to celebrate him by doing something for other people.
Is 67 minutes enough to achieve anything? Leon Creel, the founder of the nonprofit Viva Foundation, says this one day of service often sets people on a longer path.
It instigates something in the hearts of people. But the majority of this people we will hear from several times in the following year. Because as they come here, their hearts are ignited with a passion for people. And you find them going home and they are never the same.
Many of the children who benefited from Tuesday's volunteer efforts were born during Mandela's late years, or after his death. But on his birthday, they offered the following message. Mandela died in 2013 at the age of 95. His death was mourned around the world, and he was eulogized by those who included then-U.S. President Barack Obama. Anita Powell, VOA News, Pretoria.
Thanks, Anita. Well, gentlemen, bless them with blessings. Mandela indeed did leave a legacy.
It's a legacy not only for Africa, but for the whole world. That's why many viewed him as a world icon. You saw when he passed on that leaders from across the globe went to South Africa to mourn him. Barack Obama, you had Raul Castro, the Israeli Prime Minister, everyone, the who is who of world politics was there. Even enemies managed to shake hands. So that was the power of Madiba.
Vincent, I think everybody agrees that the guy was a great guy. His legacy will live on. But on the continent especially, are the current crop of leaders following his example, since it's agreed he was one of the greatest?
Definitely. He was one of the greatest whose legacy is not just about, you know, it's not only something that is cherished in South Africa, but across the continent, but also beyond the African continent. And why? It's because of his character, his demeanor, and how he approached the leadership of that country, even despite having fought and being imprisoned for all those years. Now, there, you'll find a very, very difficult time going around the continent to find a person who has left such a legacy, who, or who looks like he will leave that kind of a legacy. Most of the leaders in Africa will be remembered for how repressive they were. Many will probably be remembered for how they amassed wealth and impoverished their own countries. It is so sad that nobody actually bothers to leave that kind of a legacy. You can see that to a large extent, most of the leaders don't really care. They don't seem to really care about how you will think about them. They're more consumed and concerned with what they can get out of this for themselves, for their families, their friends, and the rest, you know, it's up to you to figure out what that will mean.
I see. Blessing, there was one attribute that most people keep repeatedly point out. This idea of forgiveness. This is a guy who spent 27 years in jail. He came out of jail and he had peace with his jailers. He didn't. There are countries that call him a terrorist, but when he had his freedom, he never took offense with such a people. It's a very rare attribute worldwide, I believe.
It is rare, but I think that is also one point that Mandela's critics use against him, because some think that, you know, he went too far. I mean, after he came out of jail, they point out to the fact that maybe South Africa's independence remains mere flag and anthem independence. He did not empower the people of South Africa using his charisma. This is why you have these problems in South Africa at the moment. You have President Jacob Zuma threatening to go the Mugabe way to seize the land that is largely owned by the minority whites. Of course, Mandela, unlike most African leaders, he only was in power for one term. You know, he stayed in jail for more than, for 27 years and in power for just one term before Thabo Mbeki took over. So, obviously, he could not have done everything in that one term, but what he managed to do was to stabilize South Africa through a reconciliation. If you look at Zimbabwe, for example, which did the exact opposite, you see there are serious problems, unemployment 90% and all that. But South Africa, at least, is very stable because Mandela was able to bring together all these warring factions, and he was able to at least ensure that there's forgiveness. So I think it's now up to those who take after him to continue with his legacy. And if there are things that needs to be corrected, they can also do the same, because his term was limited, which is extremely rare in Africa.
And you want to jump in? Okay.
Yes, I just wanted to say that Mandela had a clarity of vision, and he clearly understood what his mission was at that particular time. He knew that at that critical time of South Africa's history, stabilizing the country was important. He wanted to set the stage for a more peaceful country that has a brighter future. He could easily have turned other communities or the black community against the white people. He could have said, let's take back our land, it's our time now. He could have reminded people about how they suffered and apartheid, but he knew that when you create that condition, what you're going to do is create chaos where there will be other groupings that will form rebel groups and militias and all that. He was a guy who had wisdom and had a vision, and he knew that for his limited time, he needed to stabilize the country, create reconciliation, and create conditions for correcting the injustices of the apartheid system. Now, it was up to those who came after him to fix the issues that were up the problem with South Africa. You can obviously say they have not succeeded in doing that, and perhaps it's because they never saw what kind of a role they were supposed to play after Mandela.
I see. Before we move on, do you think, both of you or any of you, that maybe he could have had another term, maybe that could have helped him consolidate his vision or what he wanted to the country to achieve?
I think I'll agree with what Vincent is saying, that unfortunately, what happened after Mandela left the stage is very disappointing, in that people who came after him, not only in South Africa, even in some parts of Africa, don't share that vision that he had, you know. Remember, he remained even influential after he stepped down.
Actually, you know, there some say even more influential.
Exactly, exactly. But you have some leaders who who think that you are only influential if you are the president. But there are many things that you can do even after you leave office. Unfortunately, that's not happening in Africa. He could have, you know, Mandela was really popular with the people. He remains popular. If he wanted to be the life president, he could have done that. You know, but he saw that he had a role to play, which he did excellently.
And you know, if you ask me, I'll say, you know, Mandela probably did not actually need to run for a second term. He could easily have won second and so on and so forth. But think of this, gentleman. He had been in prison for 27 years. He suddenly wanted a break. But because he was the most popular person, he was the most obvious person to become president, he stepped in for those 4 years. But I can imagine that in his thought process was like, okay, I'm an old man, I've been in prison for so many years, I need to step out of the rigors of everyday, you know, running of a country, but I'll entrust the future of our country to these younger men who have been out here longer than him, who have learned the ways of the world while he was in prison, the way, you know, learning about, you know, how nations are run, how modern countries are run. He trusted that they will see his vision, and with their vigor, their energy, their education, they can take over and build a nation. He needed to take a break. Remember, 27 years in prison, he comes out of prison and straight away goes to a job of running a very, very powerful country. I think it wasn't fair to him to continue staying longer, and he was wise enough to think completely different than all the other leaders who have come to, especially those who became presidents after independence from colonialism or any form of oppressive regimes, who thought that because they fought for it or they were in prison, then they need to be president for the rest of their lives.
Blessing, he mentions the leaders who have been to prison fighting for liberating their countries. Do you know any such a leader who came from prison and then became president, and I think he forgot that people can retire?
Indeed, I think from Zimbabwe, you have President Robert Mugabe, of course, you know that...
this is a guy who was at his... when he first came out of prison, he was the darling of everybody.
Indeed, indeed. So Mugabe spent 10 years in prison, and... you know, there's a saying, an Igbo saying that says, if a cop stays for too long, it will chase away mourners. I think that's another example of, you know, some of the African leaders who forget that, you know, if you stay for too long, you end up soiling your legacy. Unfortunately, this is what is happening in Zimbabwe and other parts of the world. I think you also had an example in Sam Nyoma in Namibia. You know, after independence, he came into power. The constitution said he could run for two terms, and then he extended, you know, another term. Unfortunately, this is what we are also seeing in some parts of Africa. You had Kamuzu Banda, who was calling himself the life president. I mean, the whole continent is, you know, it's all over the continent, you know, that you have leaders who want to stay in power forever simply because, like what Vincent said, they say, oh, we fought for this country and, you know, we have every right.
Yeah. Okay. Vincent, keep your thought. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion of the legacy of Nelson Mandela.
Hey there, this is Shauna Renee, the lady DJ and host of Soul Lounge. Every Sunday at 1400 UTC, I choose an artist that you and I love, and we break down their entire career while listening to their biggest hits. That's what we do here on the Soul Lounge. Once again, every Sunday, 1400 UTC, right here.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from VOA Studios here in Washington. Tonight, we're discussing Mandela's legacy and his impact on the continent. Our panelists are my colleagues, Vincent Makori of VOA's Africa 54 and Blessing Zulu of VOA's Zimbabwe Service. And I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio 6. Vincent, most people agree on the qualities, on the legacy of Mandela and the good things he did in the short time he ruled and his generosity and all that. But then, if you look across the continent, people who allegedly came with good intentions, you can look across the continent from Angola to Uganda to Rwanda to DRC to Cameroon's Paul Biya, who people have ruled for 30, 40 years. Is it because they don't want that kind of legacy? What's so different between them and the left Mandela?
Well, what is different is selfishness. Most of those who stay in power for too long and want to stay forever are simply selfish, they're greedy, and they become completely obsessed with the idea of being the president. And Mandela was a selfless person. He did not see the presidency as something of a personal reward for what he had gone through, because he recognized that the country does not belong to him. The country belongs to all the South Africans. He may have played a part in fighting for the freedom. Mm-hmm. He wasn't alone. He recognized there are others who did the same. There are those who may never have gone to prison, but they were out here also helping to squeeze out the apartheid from their system. Now, those who do the opposite, first, when they test power, they feel how nice and sweet it is. Of course, they become greedy. They want to enjoy the packs that come with being a president or whatever the title may be. Then many of them become extremely greedy for wealth, because they can control all the means of acquiring this wealth, and they want to be as wealthy as they can possibly get, along with all their friends around them. And of course, to a large degree, most of these leaders have a mindset of a mercenary. They are there to plunder until they cannot plunder anymore, and they don't care about the legacy. In fact, too many of these guys don't really care about legacy. They care about what they're getting out of the system. They're driven by greed.
I see. Blessing, you see, further to his point, he says Mandela, he realized that the struggle was not for one person. There are many people that were involved in the struggle. People who suffered, there were many. But I don't think Uncle Bob, Robert Mugabe, Yoweri Museveni, Paul Kagame, Paul Biya, think the same way. They think the revolutions or the whatever they did to get power, it was a personal thing. They did the most. Yeah, I hear some of them refer to the rest as chaps, boys. They fire them at will. They have no respect for another person. They think it was a personal project. Does that make a difference if you look at leadership as your personal project vis-a-vis a joint venture?
I think it's Mike Twain who said that politicians in diapers must be changed constantly and both for the same reasons. I think that's one thing that unfortunately is missing, that people personalize the struggle, that they think that if they are not there, the whole country will collapse. I think this is the argument that you hear, that I'm the one who is stabilizing the country. You have an interesting leader in Paul Kagame in Rwanda is doing basically the same thing. But of course, some might say, Rwanda is doing very well economically and he has stabilized the nation. But still, there are problems that I think there is need not to. If you are a good leader, you should make those around you good. That's what you should do as a leader. You should be able to groom other people. But if there's this big manism in African politics that, you're like the father and everything revolves around you, it won't work. Look at American democracy. Interestingly, when Mugabe came into power, Jimmy Carter was the president.
Yes.
Jimmy Carter was the president. That's way back in 1980. And how many leaders is
Anytime I get the opportunity to speak to any of the presidents who have been in power for long, There's one thing I think I want to hear from them. When they think or they reason that they are the best that ever happened in that country, mm. and that if they leave, the country will fall into pieces, mm. then how much love do they have to their country, for their country? Because if they ask themselves, they're just human beings. What is their... What do they think about if something happened, which happens to all human beings, you know, you fall and die, you get sick and suddenly go. What do they think will happen to their country? I think anybody who thinks that he's the only one who can run their country is extremely selfish, because it tells you that he doesn't really care about what happens to the country after he's gone. Mm. Also, they're so presumptuous to think that out of 10 million, 12 million, 50 million people, you are the only person who can possibly run that country is really being presumptuous, but also having so much respect for the rest of the nation, because you're telling them that nobody out of all these millions of people in Uganda or Rwanda can run the country. But then what happens when you
expire?
Something happens and you expire. They've never told their people.
They've never.
But if you care for your country, you groom other people. Mm-hmm. In fact, you groom them while you're still strong, while the systems are still working. You step aside, allow them to run the country, because then you care about the future of your country. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another thing before we run out of time, blessing, is that in South Africa, at least the institutions are still working. Okay. It's only a country, almost one of the few on the continent, where you can take a president to court, where the leader can be held to account, because in many other African countries, a leader is above the law. They don't rule. It's not the rule of law. It's rule by law. It's, how does Tammy? It's not rule of law. It's law of rule. Or I don't
rule
know.
Rule by law.
So at least that legacy there, the current leadership in South Africa has kept it going. At least they have not destroyed the institutions.
It's also, if you look at South Africa, it's to do with their constitution, because it was also like negotiated, you know, everyone was there. And then they came up with a very strong constitution, which has these checks and balances. I think that is what lacks in most African countries, that the president is... above the law, the president can do anything, fire anyone. But at least with South Africa, they have a strong constitution. That's why they are able to keep their leaders in check. But I think if you also look at the current president, Jacob Zuma, there have been very serious problems also in that there are all these allegations swirling around him and his relationship with the so-called Gupta family, many say is actually hijacked the nation. Problems are there, but at least they are strong institutions. And also the fact that, you know, it's only two terms. He will go, unlike other countries where...
And, you know, that is why I think there has to be a lot of credit given to Mandela, because that's what, every nation needed to create a foundation upon which a nation, a progressive nation, democratic nation can function. Most of the countries are lacking in those institutions. And because of that, the presidents, the politicians are enjoying that, strong hold over the nation, and they don't want things to change. And many of them are reluctant, in fact, to create and build institutions that will check power, as long as they're there. So Mandela and South Africa at the moment, I think, are still, in as much as they're struggling, you can go back to that time and say, this is exactly the vision that Mandela had, that you can have a country where people can talk to each other, can challenge each other, and there are legal protections for everybody. Now, you look at countries like Kenya, they have tried to build those institutions, but you can see the politicians are really busy trying to destroy them.
Yes.
They don't want them.
No. And this has been across the board in the countries. They draft some constitutions, they put their term limits for a president, serve two terms and go away. They amend the constitutions.
Indeed.
Some of them outrightly banned them. Now in Uganda, for instance, there was a constitution that allowed for two terms for maximum for a president. the current president, the incumbent, removed that one. Now they had another provision where it says to be president you ought to be between 35 and 75. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's approaching 75 if he knows his age, because at one time he said he doesn't know his age, and he wants to change it too.
Yeah, sorry, let me jump in here. Mm-hmm. I think the good leader, anybody will be remembered for being a good leader, is a person who fought to build institutions that will protect the citizens against anybody, including themselves. Mm. This country, the United States, currently is great in its own way, with whatever faults that may be there, because of strong institutions. Mm-hmm. You can never trust power with individuals. Mm-hmm. You cannot trust power in the hands of me or anybody, doesn't matter how great you are, because power can corrupt anybody.
Yeah.
So a well-meaning leader is one who will fight to build institutions that will protect the citizens against the excesses of anybody, however well-meaning they may have been at the beginning.
Lastly, before we go, let's talk about Uncle Bob in Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. He's somewhere between 90, he should be about 90 something.
He's 94.
94. Mm-hmm. I'm told he has intentions of running again for office. Mm-hmm. He's a very educated man with several degrees. What in his mind, in his bright mind, what is his bright mind, does he think hope to achieve for another 1 or 2 years?
He has been in power for 37 years, and the country is not doing particularly well. And at one time he said, oh, well, he did not step down because he wanted to ensure that land was equitably distributed. He did that. Of course, he has more than 10 farms. And his ministers, all of them are multiple farm owners, which is not very different from what the white colonialists did. It's just a black skin, white mask. Nothing much has changed. But unfortunately, this is what you see in most African leaders who, unfortunately, also for Zimbabweans, Mugabe seems to be popular in some parts of Africa because of his rhetoric. He's a master orator.
Yes.
You know, that's why, you know, he's popular because of what he says. But what he's doing in Zimbabwe is completely the opposite. You know, he says, I'm Pan-Africanist, blah, blah. But unfortunately, it has not worked for the country. So his belief is that, you know, Zimbabwe cannot survive without him. That's why he wants to stay in power. Remember that story of an African leader who said, if I die, I want to be buried in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And people said, why not in your country? And he said, you know, so that I will resurrect after 3 days and go back to State House.
Final
thought is that it will take some time before we can see another Mandela in Africa. So many of the African leaders today really don't care about the future of their countries.
They don't indeed, and I don't know, because I wish there were 3 or 4 Mandelas across the continent. That would be a very big achievement, because then maybe they would spread the disease to the neighbors.
The Madiba magic, they call it.
Yes, correct. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Thank you to my colleagues, Vincent Macquarie, host of Africa 54, and Blessing Zulu of Zimbabwe Service. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you. The pleasure is ours.
Yes, our producer tonight was Jackson Mvunganyi, and the engineer was Skip Sisk. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that just in case you missed part of this program, you can still get access to it if you go to our main website at www.voanews.com. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. I'm your host, Douglas Simpuga, in Washington, wishing you all the best.